from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Blake Topmeyer is the SEC columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. Download his podcast. SEC Football Unfiltered, episodes available each and every week on Twitter, on X, at B. Topmeyer. Blake, I think football is officially back because we had our first internet rivalry fake injury moment. Mississippi State boards were saying that Jackson Dart had a torn ACL, and then, of course, Ole Miss went on social media and had fun with it. But to me, like, that's when you know, like, football's back, baby.
I missed that, so I'm glad you filled me in with that. That's a great Egg Bowl moment. I mean, it means football is back. It also speaks to that rivalry, I think. Like, there are very few, as you well know, you know, having covered Ole Miss, like, there are very few rivalries in the SEC that have that Ole Miss-Mississippi State nature. I mean, there's a lot of great rivalries in this conference, but when you have that in-state nature, and it's just pure hatred.
I covered it during what I think is actually the peak of the hatred, too. The Mullen Freeze era, it was just, I mean, it was unbelievable. It just consumed everything. And it was like, it's, you know, it's the type of rivalry where, like, the opposing fans don't even like to go to, like, the road game. It's like that. It's that kind of nasty.
And that was, you know, the era you were covering it, obviously, was when both programs were really good. Mississippi State was number one in the first college football playoff rankings. They were there was the Sports Illustrated cover back when magazine covers were still cool, still a thing. And Mississippi got displayed on the cover, right? Both schools were kind of featured in the headline, I think. I mean, that was, I'm sure, a great era to cover. I've covered now, I think, three straight Egg Bowls, and some of them have been a little more relevant than others, but it's still, it's an awesome rivalry to cover, as you well know. And even, you know, even when one team is not having that great of a season, it really doesn't diminish the game. I mean, I think the Iron Bowl is on, it's similar. Normally, the stakes of the Iron Bowl, I guess, are historically higher, like in the grand scheme of things, in the national championship pursuit. Usually the Iron Bowl means more, but, you know, I mean, to those fan bases, I think it's very, very similar. You know, even if there's not national stakes to the Egg Bowl, you know, to those fans, it's the same as the Iron Bowl.
Yeah, I am curious to see, like, I've always felt like Mississippi State maximizes when they really, like, lean into the hating Ole Miss. It does feel like Levy's kind of like following the Mullen playbook a little bit. Instead of like the school up north, but it's like it's the constant jabs and whatnot. And like, I think that's probably pretty smart in terms of motivating a fan base that I felt like at the end of last year, like they were just kind of like apathetic.
Well, and I think you have to, right? Like, if you're Mississippi State, you have to lean into something. And I think leaning into the hatred of Ole Miss and saying, like, we're the blue collar, no one respects
people's school.
I think you have to lean into that. Like, you can't ignore it if you're Mississippi State. I mean, I know they got, like, the swag is state thing, but, like, I think that's going to kind of die down. Like, no one really believes swag is state. Like, people believe, you know, hating Ole Miss and blue collar outworking, like that type of stuff is state, quite frankly. And you can be fun offensively. I mean, I think that's the thing. You can still be really fun on offense and have that that kind of mentality. My question with Lebby and Mississippi State is they're going to be running basically the same system that Tennessee and Ole Miss operate.
Yeah.
But you're going to be doing it with lesser players than Tennessee and Ole Miss. So the system works. I mean, we've seen the system work everywhere. And I think it's going to be one heck of a lot more exciting than what we saw in their lone season under Zach Arnett when the offense had no punch. But I just wonder, like, you're running the same thing as two other programs in your conference, and you're doing it with a lesser caliber of player on average. I think that's a tough road to hoe, but it's always a tough road to hoe for Mississippi State. And they've done, you know, in the last dozen years, I mean, they've landed some punches, whether it was with Mullen or Leach. But those were two really good coaches. I mean, I think Mississippi State fans don't always like to admit that or don't always like to hear that with Mullen because, you know, he was always flirting with the exit and eventually did leave. But I still think Dan Mullen's a really good coach who punched above his weight at Mississippi State, and then he goes to three New Year's Six Bowls and four seasons at Florida before it kind of jumped the rails there. But and then Mike Leach was made for that job. I mean, he spent his career coaching at places like Mississippi State. I mean, he was perfect for that job. And I just think they've made it look easy with Mullen and Leach. I think it actually is, though, a really hard job. Doesn't mean Lebby can't do it, but I think those two guys, Mullen and Leach, made it look easier than what the job really is.
Yeah, because yesterday we were kind of discussing, like, expectations. And it's like, with Mississippi State, you know, you run through the schedule. It's like, okay, Eastern Kentucky at Arizona State, but Arizona State's roster is horrible. Toledo. I mean, you can start 3-0, and then, like, Florida's improved, but, like, I guess that's one you can get. Then you're hoping, I guess, you get some combination of Arkansas, UMass. Like, I feel like if you get to a bowl, I feel like right, that's the expectation. Like the fan base, if they went 6-6, I think the fan base would feel good about year two.
I think so, especially on the heels of how bad last year was, and last year was bad and boring.
Yeah, it's the worst. Yeah,
it really is. Like, if you're bad and interesting, no, fan bases don't want to stay bad and interesting. They want to be somewhat relevant and interesting. But bad and interesting is better than bad and boring. And they were the absolute worst combination of bad and boring last year. And they had a veteran quarterback who had been pretty decent with Mike Leach and Will Rogers. He regressed. And you knew this guy could be better because you'd seen him do it year after year with Mike Leach. He wasn't going to win the Heisman, but the air raid and Mike Leach and Will Rogers was a good marriage. And then they tried to change things. They did change things. They go away from the air raid. I get that they wanted to move away from it long term. Zach Arnett, maybe he only has one shot to be a head coach. You want to do it your way, but it didn't work, and it was a bad look because you knew what Will Rogers could do with the air raid, and it was almost like, could you not have just brought in an offensive coordinator who knows how to run the air raid and let your quarterback, who's the best thing you have going offensively, who knows how to run the air raid, run the stinking air raid? But like I said, I get it. You get one shot to be a head coach. You want to do it your way. Everybody does it that way, but it looked really bad when it didn't work because you'd seen what that quarterback could do before, and then you saw what he was trying to do in a different offense. And yeah, he had some injury issues, but I don't think that system fit the personnel at State last year.
No, but I give them full credit for pulling the plug too. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to work. And oftentimes people like talk themselves into it. It's like, no, you pulled the plug, and I think they made a good hire. Like, I think it's all about trying to establish some momentum going into year two. Like, that's what it feels like for me.
know, I say they're trying to run the same system as Ole Miss and Tennessee with lesser players. That doesn't mean it's not worthwhile. Like I think, you know, if you can be 7-5, 8-4 with this system, and yeah, it's going to be a struggle to be at the top of the SEC as it always is at Mississippi State. It's going to get tougher with Texas and Oklahoma in the league, but the system does work, and it's worked at places that historically weren't particularly relevant. I mean, we think of Baylor as relevant now, but that's only because this exact system under Art Briles was used and made them relevant. So it has worked other places. It is actually more similar to what Mike Leach was doing. Leach didn't have the tempo, but there is a lot of overlap between Leach's air raid and the Art Briles system that Jeff Lebby runs. So, you know, to a degree, we've already kind of seen this minus the tempo at Mississippi State under Mike Leach. So I do think it's a worthwhile shot overall. Like I said, I think it's a little bit tough because you're always compared to Ole Miss in that state, and they run a similar system, and they're just on average going to have a little bit higher caliber player, at least in terms of, you know, the analyst assessment, but doesn't mean it's not a worthwhile experiment under Jeff Lebby. I would rather have this if I'm Mississippi State than some guy who's been like a really good defensive coordinator for 10 years and you're taking a shot on him like
Jeremy Pruitt.
Exactly. Yeah. This interests me more than hiring whoever the current version of Jeremy Pruitt is. I don't even know who that is. I don't know if there's a great comp right now, but I'm sure there's someone out there that's a good comp to that.
Muschamp's still available at that.
What's that?
Muschamp's probably still available.
I'm sure, yes. Muschamp would be a good comp.
The other thing I was thinking about, because before we get to like Tennessee, if you're an Arkansas fan, are you rooting for the turnaround, or are you rooting for this to stop? Like, I know it's hard to like root for your team to lose, but like I think about it in these terms. I don't really think Daniel Jones is nearly as bad as maybe the narrative is, but I'm just kind of ready for a new quarterback. You know what I mean? As a Giants fan, like if you're an Arkansas fan, are you just kind of ready for a new coach?
I think they probably are, and I think it's one of those things where certain situations, by the time you're ready for a new coach, you absolutely can't stand the guy. I mean, when Butch Jones came on camera at the end of his tenure for Tennessee fans, I mean, I think they just wanted to throw up. And I think there were there's been other situations like that. I don't think it's like that with Arkansas.
No, I think they actually like Pittman, and there is stuff to like.
Yeah, and I think they want to give him every opportunity, not just the administration, but the fan base. Like, they wanted this guy to succeed. I just think where the fan base is at, they saw enough last year to believe that it's not going to succeed. And so it's like, you don't hope Sam Pittman falls off a cliff, which Tennessee fans might have been hoping Butch Jones did that by the end of his tenure. Like no, go enjoy your buyout, go to the lake, retire, be happy, or go coach offensive line somewhere. No hard feelings, whatever. But I think most Arkansas fans are like, they've come to the realization that it's probably not going to work. So it's like, thanks for the memories. Thanks for the 9-4 season. Thanks for that win over Texas in 2021 that the fan base will celebrate for years to come. But I think a vast majority of that fan base doesn't believe it's going to work long term. And so it's like, let's get to the part of starting over and hiring a new coach. I mean, Arkansas is a weird one because we've not seen Arkansas and the SEC be what they were in the Southwest Conference, but we've seen Arkansas be pretty darn good. And I think I just wonder, could they ever get back to that point? I don't know. I mean, the SEC West at that time was not what it later became. Now there's no divisions. Texas and Oklahoma are in. I don't know if Arkansas can get back to that point whenever it was humming with Bobby Petrino. But I do think they can be better than they were last year, and better than they were with Chad Morris. And I think the fan base believes that too. And I don't think they're unreasonable to think, like, if you're Arkansas's coach, you should be able to rip off some 8-4 seasons, which Pittman did for a couple of years, but the bottom's fallen out. And I think the perception is setting in with Sam Pittman that it was more the coordinators than it was him. You know, when he had Kendall Briles and Barry Odom as his two coordinators, Kendall Briles in particular did a really nice job there with KJ Jefferson. And as bad of a coach as Chad Morris was, he actually left some pretty talented guys behind. Like, I think Pittman's roster in his first couple seasons was more talented than it is probably right now. Morris could recruit. He was a disaster at everything else. And so then Pittman comes in, inherits a better-than-expected crop of players, makes a couple good coordinator hires in Briles and Odom, and it works, better than expected for a few seasons. But then both coordinators leave, Chad Morris's players leave, and the shine is off.
I am a little surprised. I thought it'd be a better job in the NIL era.
As much money's
up there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it could be a better job. I mean, that's a sneaky good place to coach college sports. You're the only Power 5 school or Power 4 school in your whole state. There's a lot of money, which people that haven't been to Northwest Arkansas, I don't think totally realize, but there's a lot of money in that corner of the state.
Everything is new.
What's that?
Everything is new.
Yes. Yeah. And as we're seeing with John Calipari, like, there are boosters that, when they want to, can really get behind something and make it happen. I think Arkansas is the number two basketball job in the conference. I would put it behind Kentucky. There's a gap between one. There's a bigger gap between one and two than there is between two and three. But I think basketball, I would put Arkansas as the number two job in the conference. Football, I think it's middle of the pack. It might, with Texas and Oklahoma in, it's probably in the lower half of the conference. But it's not a horrible job. It's not a place where you can't win. It's not a place where you can't have 9-3 seasons. I don't know that they can get back to what they were for a few years there with Petrino. And I don't think Petrino's the answer. I mean, I know it's a great media narrative, and if Pittman gets fired, I'm sure there's a chance Petrino becomes the interim coach, and maybe it's even a trial run for him. But I really don't believe this ends with him becoming the permanent head coach. He might be the interim for the second half of the season. I don't think that's where this lands. And I think if it did land there, that would be a disaster. You can't rewind the clock to 15 years ago.
He did it at Louisville!
What's that?
Barry did it at Louisville. It kind of worked for that second time a little bit, and then it fell apart again. But I'm with you. This is the other thing I was thinking about. Because we're in peak expectation season.
Yeah.
In your mind, what fan base do you think is setting themselves up for the most disappointment?
That's a good one, because there's probably people everywhere doing that.
I mean, fan expectation is always going to be high, but like, to me, it's like, what I think is going to be fascinating is, have we reached a point this year with like Ole Miss where if they don't make the playoff, like, nothing's happening, obviously, to Lane, whatnot. Like, you know what I mean? Sure. But it does feel like that's kind of going to be a disappointing year.
I agree. I had three names kind of crystallizing in my mind as I was thinking about this. Ole Miss, Tennessee, and Missouri.
Okay, so we got the same idea then.
Yeah, because I think it's those fan bases. Like, from the outside, Ole Miss has the best chance of making the playoffs of those three. But it's not a slam dunk. And I think only one of the three will make the playoffs. I will take Ole Miss. I think it's going to be Ole Miss of that three. I don't think multiples of those three will make it. No rule that says they can't. I don't think it's going to happen. But I think all three fan bases think they're making the playoff. And so I think two of the three are setting themselves up for disappointment. I think Missouri, they had such a storybook season last year. Everything kind of broke their way. They were a good team that had a really, really good record. But I don't think they were – we've talked about this before. I don't think they were an 11-win good team. I think they were probably like an 8-4, 9-3 type of team that had all the breaks go their way, caught a fortunate schedule, and won 11 games. But now the fan base, they're looking at that schedule. They're thinking, we're coming off the heels of an 11-win season. They're going to the playoffs. And I don't think it's going to be that simple. They do have a cakewalk of a schedule. But some of those coin flip games that fell their way last year at home at Froh Field, what if they go the other way this year? I'm thinking the Kansas State and Florida games. I mean, both those games probably should have been losses. for Missouri.
I'm fine giving them the Kansas State game. The Florida one definitely should have been a lot. You know what I mean? The Kansas State game, like, was no one really ever took control of the game. Like, that one, like, that's a coin flip going your way. Florida worked so hard to lose that game that it still blows my mind.
Absolutely. And everybody's overlooking, I think, the loss of Cody Schrader. It's just like, well, the offensive line's still really good, so you can plug another 1,800-yard running back in there. Like, no, I mean, 1,800 yards is that's really hard to attain. It's not plug and play. If it was that easy, then why did Cody Schrader play like 90% of the snaps for Missouri last year? They knew the number two running back wasn't any good. And so now they brought in another transfer from Georgia State who had a nice career at Georgia State. But there's no guarantee he's going to rush for 1,800 yards like Cody Schrader did. So I think Missouri is probably a 9-3 type of team, which is a good season for Missouri. But I think the fan base has convinced themselves they're going to the playoffs. And they have the schedule to do it. I just don't know if the brakes are going to go all their way like they did last year. And for Tennessee, I think Tennessee fans look at the schedule and say, okay, they'll lose to Georgia on the road. Maybe they lose to Alabama at home, but they're beating everyone else, and they're going 10-2. I think Tennessee fans are overlooking that Week 4 road game in Norman. I think Oklahoma is going to have a pretty good roster with an incredibly tough schedule. But, I mean, if the betting line was set today, Oklahoma would be favored in Norman against Tennessee, and I think Tennessee fans are looking at that as a win. I also think Tennessee fans are not considering the possibility of a road loss at South Carolina like they had a couple years ago. They don't play South Carolina this year, but I mean a game like
right,
that, where you have it in the win column in your mind. But you know, for all that Josh Heupel's done well the last 3 years, he has had those games where, you know, once a season he goes on the road and they shoot themselves in the foot and they're terrible in a road game and they lose it. You know, South Carolina 2 years ago.
Missouri last year.
Yeah, Missouri, they got clubbed over the head. The schedule doesn't have a lot of obvious games like that. I know we were saying we don't think Arkansas is going to be particularly good this year, but I do look at that one. That's in Fayetteville. I mean, Tennessee fans are looking at that as like a 100% win. That's one of those sneaky games like at South Carolina a couple years ago. I don't put that 100% in the win column. And if it's not there, you know, maybe it's NC State at neutral site in Charlotte. Like, I think there are other possibilities where they lose one that you would expect them to win. And I just think the Oklahoma game, that's a critical one for Tennessee. If they beat Oklahoma, then I'm warming up to the idea of Tennessee to the playoffs. If they lose in Oklahoma at Oklahoma in Week 4, it doesn't knock them out, but in my mind, I think it means that they're a little bit more on the outside looking in, and that's kind of the way I'm projecting it.
I mean, to me, it means if they lose that one, then you're going to have to split with Georgia and Bama.
Right, and I know Bama's at home. Neyland Stadium will be rocking that day. It's not that they can't do it. We saw them do it a couple years ago, and Bama's... Bama's going to be gettable this year, but I think Bama's still going to be really good. You know, I think right after Saban retired, a couple guys transfer, everybody's licking their chops that this is the year to beat Bama. Bama's still a top five, top eight type of program going into the season, so they're still going to be darn good.
Blake, have a great weekend, buddy.
Okay, thanks, you too.
That is Blake Topmeyer, an SEC columnist for the USA Today Sports Network.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.